Dear friends, in the Church of Jesus Christ, in all nations and languages, on earth and in heaven, as we have heard this morning, yesterday and in eternity, I have to report on some kind of an experiment of the love of God in Germany. Well, I don't know whether the word experiment is the right word. It is a very small thing if you look at it in the great history which God's love has with mankind. But if you are inside of it, living in Bethel, then it's a marvelous thing to see what the Spirit of God is doing since 110 years in a little village in a very beautiful mountainous country in Germany. And it is a very small little part of the great action of the love of God, which he is doing from, let's say, Abraham until the day when we will sing the new hymns at the throne of God. Well, but I better begin with asking your pardon for doing quite a lot of harm to your ears. You are used to listen to a good English and to a good English pronunciation, and now you have to listen to someone who tries to speak English, and it's difficult for me to speak a good English. Please pardon all my mistakes, which I surely will make. I want to report this morning in three parts. First, give some kind of an introduction, a little bit of the history of Bethel, and then some pictures. And it might be the best if I tell a little bit on what is going on, and you have pictures to see. And then we close with a sentence out of the Bible which is important, or has been important, in Bethel in doing our work. Bethel did not begin in Germany, but it began in France. And this is some of the miracles of God. He has men wherever in the world. Very often men who just give an initiative, that's all. This man was a pastor in southern France with the name Jean Bost. He cared for children, and then he discovered the special difficulties of epileptic children. So he took care of epileptic children. And in 1865, he wrote a letter, 7 pages, a letter which, well, these people could write letters. I'm not quite sure whether we in our time can write letters. St. Paul could write letters. They had much more time to think about. And you need time to think about if you write a letter, a good letter. Well, we have this letter in Bethel now. It's still a letter. If you read it, you cannot withstand. In 1865, he wrote this letter telling us in Germany, you have also to care for these epileptic children. They are in a desperate situation. And this letter came into the hands of merchantmen, bosses in industry, in Bielefeld. One of them was a man who did business with alcoholics, and the others were ashamed that one of them gained his money by selling alcoholics. But he was a Christian, and he had heart for every man in need. And they bought, in 1867, a farmer's house and began with 4 epileptic children. Very soon it became 14 boys. And then in 1872, they were asking a pastor, who at this time had been 41 years of age, Friedrich von Bodelschwing, to come to Bethel and to be the leading person. And now it came out that he was a marvelous, well, he had a marvelous ability to lead such an institution. He had a marvelous ability of organization. If he would not have been in the church and taking up a job at the church, but let's say become a politician, he surely would have become one of the best German politicians in our history. He had marvelous ability of organization. He was a very excellent beggar, just begging people to help him of all kind. And in the next days, I have to tell you how he did this business of begging other people to do something, even staying at home in Munich or wherever else. And he was a man of a strong spiritual force. He really was living out of faith. The very first step which he did was to ask a small group of deaconesses who were living in Bielefeld to come and to unite with this little institution for epileptic boys. And it came out that this decision has been a very, very important one. Around Bielefeld at this time we had a revival movement, overcrowded churches. One part of people sitting in, you say, in the pulps, on the bank, the other one on their legs, and others put staircases on the windows, standing at the staircases, listening to what was going on in the churches. And on the afternoon, they invited their neighbors, and they repeated what they had heard in the sermon on the morning. And the whole country, the so-called Ravensburger country, completely changed. The social life completely changed. And the consequence has been that quite a lot of young men and women were ready to work in Bethel. There's a letter which Bodelschwing wrote to the emperor. He was educated together with the throne prince, the prince who is destined to become the emperor later on. This prince only has been the emperor for 99 days, then he died. Well, he was educated together with him, so he had a very good contact with the house of the emperor. He wrote a letter, I have to go to build a new house. I need money. I asked you for 10,000 Thaler, was the name, not Mark, at this time. And he said in this letter, at the beginning of this year, I had 36 deaconesses. Now it are 82. At the end of this year, it will be more than 100 in 1 year. And then he wrote, these are young girls, very healthy, coming out of a farming country, very healthy, and they are eager to serve the Lord. So he had young men and women in great number to do the work, and therefore Bethel could grow. In 1877, he founded a brotherhood of deacons, so he had the deaconess's mother house and the deacon's brother house. The name of the deacon's brother house was Nazareth, the name of the deaconess's mother house, Zarepta. We have all biblical names. Not because the Bible has so many names, so it's easy to find names, but because we think with the names you point out, we want to be in the history which God is going on to have inside of the history of mankind. And the history of mankind is going to be part of the history of God, the cosmic history, as we heard yesterday morning. And we think that taking up biblical names, we point out that there is a history of God in our common history. Now, when Bethel was growing, we took care of especially five big groups of diseased men and women and children. First, epileptics. Right now we have more than 2,200 epileptic children, epileptic men and women in Bethel. Later on we will see pictures, and then I'd say a little bit on what kind of sickness it is. Next group, mentally sick ones. And right now there are special groups among the mentally sick which are growing very much, I think in America also, namely the neurotics. They are growing rapidly. The alcoholics and old ones, geriatry, I don't know how to, yes, old ones who became mentally sick just by being old, and things in their brain do not go as they did go before. These three groups are tremendously growing. So this is a very difficult group. The third group, well, I don't know whether I'm able to make clear what this group is. We call them nicht sesshafte. I don't know, do you have an American expression? Maybe you say tramp. You have heard of the clochards in France who are sleeping under the bridges? They do not want to have a house or a family. They lost contact with everyone else. They are just living on their own feet. They do not know how to communicate with another person, some kind of getting out of social life. We have about 70 to 93,000 in Germany right now. Bodelschwing called them my brethren of the road. And you know, having such a name, this means you have another kind of communication with them. If you say nicht sesshafte, well, this is something, a group. But if you say my brethren from the road, then you talk with them and you bring them out, even with the name, beginning with the name, bring them out of this having lost social contact. And then the next group, multifold diseased people, mentally and at the same time physically disabled men and women. And the next group, young boys who had become criminal. And either they are going to become criminals later on and going from prison to prison and things like this, or we succeed in helping them to begin a new life. And this is a problem which we try to solve in a time of a year or 1.5 years, whether we can succeed in helping them to begin a new life. Now, Bethel has grown very much, and right now we have more than 5,000 beds for these groups of diseased or disabled or handicapped boys and girls, men and women. Not all of them on one place. The place on Bethel in which it began is one of the places. We have other branch institutions, Eckartsheim, Freistadt, Homborn, even some 18 little branch institutions in Eastern Germany. They are separated now. They are on their own feet now, but we are helping them. And each one who is working in our institutions in Eastern Germany has someone in our institution in Western Germany to whom he corresponds, and we are sending packages and some kind of godfather, something like this. Is this an English expression for what I mean? The person in Western Germany cares for the other in Eastern Germany. Well, But to do such a work with such a high number of disabled persons means that you need quite a lot of different things, like special schools. And right now in Bethel, every day, we have more than 2,500 students of all kinds, different kinds, even a theological faculty on which where you can study theology. And right now we have more than 300 students of theology in Bethel. It begins with schools for the handicapped, and we try to have all of them under one pedagogical roof, not in one school. The schools are different because you have to acquaint to the special kind of intelligence and ability which the boys and girls have. But we try to have all of them under one roof. I'm going to tell a little bit more on it later on. And also, we have quite a lot of, well, merchandise enterprises, beginning with farming and then a bakery and then a repairing shop for cars and things like this. More than 50 of these merchandise enterprises, because we want to have places where disabled persons can find a job, something to do, which has a therapeutic effect, not only to earn money, but a therapeutic effect. And therefore we build up these merchandise enterprises, but at the same time we earn quite a lot of money out of these enterprises. Well, but what is the goal of this great institution with more than 5,000 sick men and women and children? There's an old sentence of, we say, Father Bodelschwing, the first Bodelschwing. He has been the leading person in Bethel from 1872 to 1910. Which said, you can take medicine and all kind of therapy on any place in the world. The goal of Bethel reaches further on. It reaches into eternity. That doesn't mean eternity behind death. I mean, it also means eternity behind death. Nobody of us is coming out of the nothing, being born, and then living 7 or 8 or 9 decades, and then going down into nothing again. This is not life. This is a very widespread meaning in Europe. Nihilism, we call it. You say it, nihilism? It's very widespread in Europe right now. I think it's a terrible thinking. We are coming out of the hands of God, and we are going back into the love of God. But eternity means it's beginning right now. If you know Jesus Christ, if you get the life which is hidden in God with Jesus Christ, then you are living in eternity, and at the same time living in history and in time. And we want to bring help to all these disabled persons in a, we say, ganzheitlich. It means all the perspectives of life which a man has. This is his body. And we have to try to help him in all the defects or whatever else he has in his body. This also means his mind and his soul, and if there are defects in his mind, then we have to try to help him in these, getting along with these defects, if we can heal them all right. But this is not all of the life. You need a place where you find out that you are loved by some others. You need a place where you can do something which is helpful for others. You need a place in which you have the feeling, I really live. My abilities, even if they are very, very small, come out and they are developed. And you need to know that you are living in the love of God today and tomorrow and in eternity. Life has quite a lot of perspectives. And we want to help those who are coming and they are disabled and they are helpless and they are crying for help in these different perspectives. You can only do this if you don't make a hospital and put them in a hospital and then let the doctors take care of them. This is not the right way. You only can do it if you live in a parish, a political parish and a Christian parish. I don't know whether this can be in America. I mean a society in which you are all of them, the disabled and the others, are citizens together and Christians together. They have life together. So if you come to Bethel, you find that those who think they are healthy and think they are normal, who is normal? I never have seen a normal person. And I never have seen someone who is completely disabled. All of us here in this room are disabled and handicapped people. There's no one in this room who is not handicapped. It's only the question of how much you are disabled and how much you are handicapped. Now, we try to live together in one community, in one Christian community and in a political community. And in this community, everything is going in. The doctors are working, and the teachers are working, and work in different merchandise enterprises is going on. Everything is, and we are living together a common life. And we think this is very, very important. I think it's not good to separate those who are sick from those who think they are not sick. We think it's better to live together, and if you come to Bethel, you go through a little town like other little towns. You see there are quite a lot of bigger houses in which 60 or 50 disabled persons are living, but then you see a school, and then you see a store, and then you see houses in which people are living, those who are working in Bethel, and so on. And you are going through a little town, a town in which the mercy of God is coming to all of us. Well, now I propose to see some pictures, then it's easier for me to tell about it. This is the little house at the very beginning of Bethel. There's someone sitting in it during day and night. And you can come in and sit down and ask and phone or rest, whatever you want. There are no walls around Bethel, like very many other institutions for sick people have. There's no entrance where you have to knock at the door and ask whether you can come in, but a house in which someone is waiting for everyone who wants to come and who needs help. This is the oldest house, the farming house which the merchantman bought in 1867. It has the name Eben Ezer, and you see the old farming house, typical for Germany, and then on the left side, the part of the house which they built in 67 when group of young epileptics became more numerous. In a valley, and in this valley there have been farming houses, and Bodelschwing bought one after the other of these farming houses So we still have quite a lot of these typical German farming houses, and later on we had to build new houses, but it now is a mixture of the houses out of this old time and out of our time. Well, now you look a little bit across the valley. The tower on top is a castle which has been built in the 15th century, and it is the center of the town of Bielefeld. Bielefeld is a town of 320,000 inhabitants, and since 2 years we are a district of the town of Bielefeld, just a district. And there's no difficulty. The traffic of Bielefeld is going through Wetel, and it's about 10 minutes to go from this little building, which you saw on the first picture, to the very center of Bielefeld. And this also seems to be, in my view, important, that we do not put aside those who are sick, but we try to help them to live amongst everyone, so that they do not have the feeling we are some kind of a second-class group amongst men and women, but we are just, we are accepted. We ask our epileptics to go into Bielefeld only two and two, because sometimes it happens that they get their attacks. And if they are alone, then it's difficult. When Bethel began, there was quite a lot of fighting against such an institution so close to the city of Bielefeld. And Bodelschwing had to do some years to change the minds and the thinking of the population in Bielefeld against the institution of Bethel. Now this has changed completely. Some years ago, I talked with the Oberbürgermeister, the mayor of this town, you say, mayor? The leading person of the town. Well, he was traveling quite a lot, and then he told me, when I'm in Finland or in England or in France or in Italy, and they ask me, what is the name of the town for which you are the mayor? And I say Bielefeld, and they say, I never have heard of Bielefeld. Then I sometimes say, well, I come from Bethel. Oh, well, Bethel, we know Bethel. And I think it's good that this has changed completely. In 100 years ago, saying we do not want such an institution with sick people, and now the sick people do something for public relations of the bigger town of Bielefeld. You see in the foreground a Tischlerei working with wood, all kind of wood, making windows and tables and chairs and things like this. And then different houses, and you see there are some houses just to live in, other bigger houses in which hospitals are, or homes for, let's say, 60, 50 epileptics or mentally sick one. And the big house on top in the forest, this is a house for about 80 epileptics. Right now, the daughter of Edna Hong, Judy O'Sullivan, is working in this house for a quarter of a year. We have some kind of exchange program with St. Olaf's College. They send students over to Germany, to Bethel, and they are working in a house for a quarter of a year. They have to write a paper on their experience for the college, and we like to have them with us. September, another girl is coming, Vicky Jones. This again is a view over the whole village. The big house with its towers is the deaconess's mother house. And you see, the whole thing is built in a valley, and you see a long mountain with forest going through the whole valley, and on the other side there's again another valley, and this also belongs to Bethel, and there we have the hospitals for, well, just normal hospitals. There's a normal hospital with 775 beds and a children's hospital with 160 beds, just for everyone out of the country. And we think this to be very important because we need most excellent medical help. And therefore you need the different kind of specialities in medicine right now. Otherwise, probably you lose contact with the development in medicine. And therefore we need this normal hospital very much. Right now in Bethel we have about 160 physicians, about 260 teachers, 44 pastors, and altogether about 5,000 employed men and women. About 150 deaconesses. Well, I tell about deaconesses tomorrow. Another view on the valley, you see, it really is a little town, about 8,000 people living there. Well, some kind of the marketplace, the center of Bethel. To the left, this red building is a parish house in which we have our parish life and meetings, and well, there's a big room like this in which we can have another view on the valley. You see, it really is a little town, about 8,000 people living there. And now you also see some of the modern buildings in the middle, to the left, some of the modern buildings. We have to build quite a lot of buildings in the last time and in the next time. This is, well, some kind of the marketplace, the center of Bethel. To the left, this red building is a parish house in which we have our parish life and meetings, and well, there's a big room like this in which we can have 600 to 700 men and women. And Ophir, this is our Kaufhaus. What do you say in English? Kaufhaus. A big storehouse in which you can buy everything. Bethel is the only one place in Germany which has the right to print its own money since long time. The idea of Bodelspring has been those who are sick and living with us, they shall have the feeling of being, not being separated, but it came out that it could be difficult to go to Bielefeld and to buy with normal money. Then some of them, mentally sick one, bought, well, very what they couldn't use, or what was very expensive and things like this. Therefore, we built our own big storehouse and printed our own money, and everyone, even the very heavy disabled person, can go there, can buy there, and can feel like everyone else. This is inside of this marketplace. The sick ones do it more slowly, and sometimes they have difficulty. They try to get too much because just what they see, they want to have it, like children. And so we have to talk with them, and it's sometimes a little bit busy, difficult, but we like it very much just to be together with them, to meet them. And you can imagine, this is a place where we talk with one another, and where we meet with one another, just like you meet here in Holden Village. This is one of the modern houses, the house for the nursing school. We have three schools for nursing, and one for children's babies nursing. It's a specialty in America also. It's a special education in Germany, nursing for little children. Oh, I see. Well, and we have to do quite a lot of work. I told you that we have more than 50 different kinds of enterprises. This is farming, and you see the old farming house, and on the side of the farming house, the new building. This is very typical for Bethel. The old and the new one being built together. And we like this because you have, on the one side, you are reminded to the tradition. And on the other side, you see you have to go ahead. The way to kill tradition is just to have the same structure today. If you want that tradition is the living thing, then you have to develop it. You have to ask for the intention which our fathers had in their tradition, and to try to make these intentions, these meanings, what's the right expression? The meaning of what our fathers thought about when they had these structures. You have to take out this meaning and make it alive again, make it spontaneous again, make it creative in our time. This is one of our problems in Bethel, living in a very, very good and blessed history, and on the other side, seeing the progress of therapy. And we have to go along with the progress of therapy, because you have to give the utmost kind of help to someone who needs help, which you can give. Otherwise, you become guilty. This again is a new building, the Tag and Night Clinic, Day and Night Clinic. In the day clinic, there are coming mentally sick men and women who are there during the day, working, having all kind of therapy which is necessary for them. And on the evening, they go back and live with their family. Next morning, they come again for about half a year. We try to finish it after half a year. And we succeed very, very good in restoring mentally sick men and women by such a treatment during the days for half a year. Same with the night clinic. There you are working at your place where you have lived. But you come into the clinic late on the afternoon, you get some kind of therapy, group therapy and things like this, gymnastics and physical therapy on the evening, and you sleep here in the night and you go back to your working place during the day, also for about half a year. Well, and this is a map on Betel. You see, it's quite a area, big area, with quite a lot of houses. Well, so you saw the village. Now, some of the sick ones. This is an epileptic man. Right now we have in Germany about 350,000 epileptics. Nobody knows exact the number. Epilepsy is not just one sickness. It's a numerous group of sickness. It begins with very slight absences. You just are out of mind for a second or for half a minute, for a very short time. It begins with this, and it comes to the so-called grand mal. Then they fall down, they lose their conscience, and it's terrible to see. Now, this is the so-called EEG, which you can measure what is going on in the brain, the streaming in the brain. You can measure it, and it points out what kind of epilepsy is going on. Right now we have another type of apparatus in which at the same time you can measure the brain streaming and take a picture of how the attack is going on television. And then you have on the television, on the one half side, the pictures of how the attack is going on. On the other side, the signs, how the brain streaming is going on. And you can look at this and look at this and make your diagnosis. About 90% of those who are epileptics can live at home. And only about 10% need some kind of more help. This is probably the same thing in all countries, also in America. About 90% can live by their own. These are the different medicines. You say medicines? Some 20 or 30 years ago, there only was one medicament on a brome basis. Now we have quite a lot of different medicaments, and the question for the doctor is to find the right medicament and the right doses to give. This is physical therapy, which is very, very important to strengthen the whole body. And the epilepsy damages the brain. And then this has consequences for the whole body and for your thinking. And some of them lose the feeling of how to move. And we have to try to get this back. And physical therapy is very important in this aspect. And also some kind of gymnastic. You see, she has to go straight ahead, and she has to learn to go straight ahead because she lost this feeling of how to go, how to walk. You see this helmet on her head, they need it because if they fall down, then they very often hurt themselves very heavily, so they need to wear such a helmet out of leather. Our friseur, the man who is caring for hair, hairdresser, you see? He now makes artificial hair, which you can put on this helmet, and our sick girls and women are very, very happy since they have this hair because. This is very important because it gives them the feeling of to be like others are, you know? If you bear such a helmet, everyone immediately sees you are sick. But if you have such kind of artificial hair around it, then you look like a normal person. There's also some kind of gymnastic. We do quite a lot of this. And playing games, you know, little children, it's difficult to make sport and gymnastic in a disciplined way. It's better to make it in by playing, by making a game. Then you have the same thing, you make gymnastics, but they think it's just playing. Well, and we want all of our sick people to do something which they like to do and which is usable for the society. 82% of our handicapped men and women do have some kind of work to do every day. 82%. And if you think about that we take the most disabled persons who cannot live at home, then I think this is something astonishing, that it can be reached that 82% do something good every day. Now they make music. There is a musician in Germany with the name Orff. He's a famous composer. You say so, composer? He made music. And he thought about special instruments for an orchestra for handicapped people. And he found out special instruments for a special orchestra with handicapped people. And we call them Orff'sche Instrumente. And we have quite a lot of them, and we like to play them. They are very easy to play, but you are an orchestra. And he is going to work on a machine. We also have industrial work, and we found out that there is industrial work which is easy to do. And our epileptics they need quite a lot of time to learn something, much more time than a so-called normal person, much more. But if they have learned, they do a most excellent work. It takes weeks and sometimes months to teach them just a simple work, but then they do a most excellent work. And we found out that there are industrial types of work which are very, very easy to do. This is weaving. We have a very large weaving department, and you know, weaving means you can bring out very beautiful things. And if you come to Bethel and go through the shop, the store in which we sell the weaving, you will find most beautiful things. They are as beautiful as those whom a healthy person is making. And this is what carving, working with, she makes instruments, music instruments, and we also sell them. Well, and this is stamps. I told you of Bodelsping that he has been a good beggar. One of the things which he asked people to give to him has been stamps, just used stamps. Nobody can do anything with them anymore. But we collect them because it's a very excellent work to do, put them in some water and take the stamps off the envelope and then clean it and then put it into envelopes with, not with paper, but that you can look through, this kind of paper, and then we sell them again. Last year, in 67, we had more than 200,000 marks by selling the stamps. Well, twice in a year we are getting a container, container on trains. You know, this big container filled up with stamps coming out of USA. There's a bureau in New York which collects them and sends them over twice in a year. It are millions of stamps which come to Bethel, and we sell them again. And this money is not for Bethel. It is given for our missionary work in Tanzania since more than 60 years. And the sick ones who are working there, they know that this is going to Tanzania. I mean, this is also a very important aspect. We want our disabled men and women to think in a worldwide scale and to be engaged in work all over the world. We do not want them to have the feeling, I have only to do with my own sickness. But I am able to do something for Tanzania. And we have quite a lot of guests out of Tanzania. We have an own mission, and we have some houses in which men and women out of Tanzania come to Bethel and study in Bethel. Now these stamps are packed into little packages, the same kind of stamp in the same packages, and very often groceries, you say groceries, those who sell stamps in big scale, they are coming and they buy thousands of them and sell them again in their stores. And here you see industrial work again. We have to find some kind of Schutz. What does it mean in English? Schutz. That they cannot wound themselves with working with a machine. And here they work in a bakery, making very excellent cakes. And here again, he probably is in some kind of education for a profession. And this is in farming, doing farming. All right, these have been the pictures this morning. Let me close with a sentence on which Bodil Schwing preached when he was ordained. He was ordained in Paris, and he preached on a sentence which St. Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 4. And this sentence is also written on the stone on his grave, you say so? So it's a sentence which covers his whole life. As we have received mercy, we faint not. That means the beginning is with God, not with us. It's not our initiative to build Bethel or things like this. It's beginning with God. God in heaven was homesick for his children on earth, particularly for those who are suffering. And he couldn't stand by himself in heaven, so he came down. And he became himself a ohnmächtig, what's it, without any might. You know, when he was dying on his cross, he was not a mighty man. He was completely without any force or things like this. Like our disabled, he became such a man. And his almightiness, what's the name, the word in English? Omnipotence, yes. Became so weak, like a disabled person is. And this because of love. No one on earth, even the most disabled person, should have the feeling, I am lost. There's no one who loves me. God came to them and become such a weak person, so that his love is undoubtable. And we think this is very, very important. Now, if you discover the love of God, the mercy of God for yourself, then you are living in the same way than God did. You cannot withstand. You have to be on the side of the disabled. You have to live their life, not your life, but their life. You have to be on their very side, suffering with them, living with them, being together with them, talking with them, having communication with them, not from above, but on their level. Otherwise, you cannot bring help. I mean, cannot bring help, the help which God wants to bring to them. Therefore, if you are a person who took up the mercy of God, then you are some kind of a transformator of the mercy of God to others. It's you are only through the disposition of God. He is working. You just are the receiver daily, day by day again, the receiver of the mercy of God. But then it's going through your heart and through your mind and through your hands and through what you are doing to those who are under the special love of God. And I think this is one of the tragedies in Christianity, that so many Christians take the mercy of God for their own use. And this is all. And this is really a treachery. God's mercy is destined to do something on earth, to change history, to change life, and not only my life, but the life of others, and particularly the life of those who cannot help themselves. Bodil Schwing has been a farmer at the beginning of his life, and then he read a small paper telling about Africa and the difficulties of the nations living in Africa. And then he said, I am going to study theology, I want to become a missionary. Well, he didn't become a missionary, he was sent to Paris, being a young pastor, and he was ordained in Paris. And in Paris he saw that the very many of the Germans living in Paris had to do the dirty work of cleaning the streets in Paris. Right now we have in Germany workers from Yugoslavia, from Spain, from Turkey, from whatever places, who are doing all the kind of work which Germans don't want to do. We had more than 4 million. Right now we have about 2 million. In this time, Germans did the dirty work in Paris, and he cared for them. And you see, reading a letter telling of the nations in Africa, his heart was moved because of being a receiver of the mercy of God. You cannot be then to be moved if you read such a letter. Being in Paris, working and seeing this group of people who had to do hard work. If you are a man who is receiving the mercy of God, you cannot withstand. And then, being a pastor in a little village in Westphalia, he lost 4 of his children in 10 days by diphtheria. Short time before he came to Bethel. And you know, he made the experience of being comforted by God, of anew receiving the mercy of God in a special way. And therefore, he could have a heart for those who are helpless. Thank you.